Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on list.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress-them-on-the-third-date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
The following is a GoPowerCat.com production.
It is a busy day in K-State athletics. I have just returned from a Jerome Tang press conference, a Chris Kleiman press conference, and now it's time for the insiders. Guess what we're going to talk about? What I just talked about with those coaches. Welcome to the K-State Insiders.
Welcome to the K-State Insiders, your Kansas State sports show, presented by Synergy Financial Partners. Now let's go to the rolling Flint Hills, home of the Cats and Dogs studio. Here's your host, Tim Fitzgerald.
I'm so distracted, I screwed up the open for about the ninth week in a row. I just hit live. Just there I was, just live with no intro. Tim Fitzgerald, Brian Hanley, as usual. Ryan Gilbert joins us this week because all that stuff going on kind of messed up Glenn Kinley being here. So we've got three beautiful human beings. Yeah, Gilbert, I included you in that. As we talk about everything going on in K-State sports, we've got a lot to talk about. And I'm ready to get going, guys. I'm really disturbed by basketball. We'll start there since that's what I put on the front page. Ryan Gilbert, let's dive in, man. They look like they were ready to make that run that they've needed. They got the two at home that they had to have. Then they went to Cincinnati in a very winnable game, kind of turned out to be not at all what the ideal situation would be. Cincinnati played well. K-State didn't defend well. Tyler Perry went off, almost saved the day. But at the end of the day, Cincinnati was better over the course of the game, and the Bearcats got the win. And now K-State's in a really precarious position if it wants to get to the NCAA tournament. And as I said on the daily delivery today, they've even kind of put themselves in a bad position for the NIT if they continue to lose games.
Can I just say turnovers and that can be it? Or do you want me to actually kind of dive into things here, Fitz? I mean,
crazy. Yeah,
it seems like this team really had the ball rolling. You know, Tyler Perry was playing great over those two games leading into that Cincinnati game. And, of course, TP was awesome. He's been phenomenal as of late for Kansas State, but his teammates just haven't been able to give him much help. You look at Arthur Kaluma and Cam Carter, 12 combined turnovers from those two. You know, Jerome Tang mentioned it, 29 points off of turnovers. Cincinnati was able to score. You mentioned that today. It's just you can't expect to win games in the Big 12 with those numbers. And so it almost seems like K-State had, you know, all that hard work that they, you know, you beat BYU at home. You beat West Virginia in maybe an ugly game, but a win's a win, right? All that's just now kind of erased with that loss to Cincinnati. And, you know, I think K-State can steal one of these two. I'm not saying they can't, but you kind of have to go 2-0 over these next two if you really want to have a good shot at making March Madness, and that's just, I don't know if they can get there.
No, it's a lot of work to do. But, Big B, let's talk about those turnovers. It's a problem they can't solve. Jerome Tang basically said that today. We're at the 27th game. Yeah. We're almost done with the regular season. We haven't fixed it yet because he doesn't think it can be fixed in season. So the focus around there is to try to, you know, of course, cut down the turnovers as much as possible. He was disappointed with the turnovers, but it was the live turnovers that ate K-State up. 29-6 points off turnovers. You lose by two, but you get outscored by 23 points in turnovers. Oh, brother.
You know, here's the thing, Fitz, and we've talked all year about K-State not having a true point guard, and that is clearly a problem. However, I mean, Gills, you mentioned it. when your two wings or your perceived two wings have 12 combined turnovers, that's not a point guard's fault. That's just guys not being able to handle the basketball and just turning it over, making bad decisions. It's just, it's going to kill you. And it's another thing if it's a big man throwing the ball out or something like that. But these are guys that you're counting on to score you points, and they can't have that many turnovers. And they did again, and that's what got them beat, period. End of story. We can't, I mean, we can say all the other things that we want. When you're turning the ball over like that, that's what's going to get you beat. That's what got them beat. I don't know. I mean, again, I'm glad Coach came out and said today that that was the reason we can't change it, because we've been saying it for weeks on here, is that it is what it is. You're not going to be able to change it, man. It's just you're going to have to figure out a way around it. They didn't take our advice either, Gills, because we said, hey, run up and down the court, try to score as many points as you can because you're still going to turn the ball over. Well, they're still not doing that. And they're still turning it over. So it's just, I don't know at this point, guys. I really don't.
Well, that's sort of the argument for giving Danny Ames more freedom or getting RJ Jones onto the court, right? Those, if they're freshmen and you think they're going to turn it over, well, you know, what are your experienced guys doing, right? I know Cam Carter and Arthur Kulum are only juniors. They're not like fifth-year seniors like Tyler Perry, but those guys are turning it over. I'm sure that the freshmen are probably going to make some mistakes, but again, you know, I don't think you're at this point in the season where you just go to the freshmen and let them play, because K-State still is certainly playing for something. But, you know, RJ Jones didn't play a single minute in that game against Cincinnati. Michaela Bridge was only on the court for the special teams play that Jerome Tang mentioned in the final seconds, right? Dorian Finister only had a few possessions, right? So, I mean, when those guys, I mean, Fitz, you've hammered this many times, right? The fundamentals are just so poor. And seems like K-State was gifted last year with Keontae Johnson and Marquise Noel. And I could be wrong here, but it seems like this staff, Jerome Tang, they kind of just thought, okay, everybody's going to be this polished. Everybody's going to be this good when they get here to Manhattan. And with some of these guys, it's just not the case.
Well, we have been difficult on the turnovers. And we've been difficult on Tyler Perry because he just hasn't at all been the type of player we thought we'd see at K-State. And there's been, you know, extenuating circumstances, having to be a point guard when you've never done it before. That's a pretty thing, big thing to put on your plate. Hey, by the way, Brian, you're a really good offensive lineman. You're going to play quarterback today. Okay. You know, it just, it doesn't always translate. I'm sure you do fine, Brian. I'm sure you would be good. But Tyler's had to learn a lot. But to his credit, and Coach Tang talked about this too, maybe it's the sense of urgency we see from him at the end of games when he becomes so good. Now he's kind of got that urgency in the entire games. He's shooting 61.5% from three over the last three games, 16 of 26. He's cut down on turnovers, although he had a really bad late one against Cincinnati. Tyler Perry has been really good, and it's really nice to see this young man flourish. But I know he'd trade some of those buckets for that win in Cincinnati, because the hopes of getting to the tournament are fading fast.
Yeah, I mean, look, I think we can just – it's safe to say you either win these two games or you're not making it. You know, if you lose one of these two games, then I don't care what they – outside of winning the Big 12 tournament, the selection committee isn't going to reward you. And we've seen that in the past. They don't reward teams for making it far. They're not going to reward K-State for winning two games in the Big 12 tournament or three. They're not going to do that. They're going to say, what did you do throughout the season? They're going to look at that, and then they're going to turn around and say, okay, this is where you finished. Sorry. Yeah, maybe you won a couple of games where maybe teams are already in the tournament, not really thinking that much about it, because that's their logic. They'll absolutely use that logic. And that's not a K-State thing either. They've done that with other teams and other conferences in the past. So I know K-State fans will be upset by that, but I'm just telling you that this is the path that the committee uses. So you either win these two games or you're not making it. It's just that simple.
Gills, that loss was a double whammy for K-State. And what I mean by that is they not only took the loss when they needed mathematically to have the victory, but now Cincinnati is one game behind them in the standings and owning the tiebreaker. So if you don't win a game in these last two, Cincinnati closes, I believe, with West Virginia at home in Cincinnati. Probably going to win that. I'm not going to write off the Mountaineers, but they probably will. So if those two teams end up tied, guess what? K-State plays on the first day. They're in the bottom four. And just last week, it looked like K-State was headed to the middle of the pack if they could just continue to play well. But they just can't get over their flaws.
Yeah, and what Big B mentioned about playing in Kansas City, regardless of how many games you win there, this is especially true if K-State's playing on the first day. A win over West Virginia or Cincinnati or UCF, Oklahoma State, that's going to mean absolutely nothing for your resume. Now, if you're playing on the second day, you beat, you know, BYU and then TCU, maybe there's an argument to be made there against you, Big B. But yeah, I mean, Fitch, if you're playing on that first day, obviously your resume is going to be a lot worse than it would be. But also, your resume is not going to get any better in Kansas City. And so it's, you know, it is crazy how much things can change with just a loss. You know, Kansas State was a possession away, really, guys. They were one possession away from being on a three-game winning streak. They would have been, 8-8 in Big 12 play, right? They would have been at 500. And there's a fine line, right? I mean, 19 turnovers. I mean, there's so many plays. And sometimes guys just go out and make plays at the end of games. You know, Cincinnati, Luke Coach, I can't remember that guy's name, the guy that hit the three-pointer, right? He made a play. He was having a game, right? TCU at home in Bramlage Coliseum, the Horned Frogs. Like, that was a prayer, but it got answered. You know, sometimes guys just go out and make plays. And so my point here is you can't rely on that, though, right? Yeah. You want to get up by 5-6 points in the final minutes, right? And if you have, you know, 15 turnovers against Cincinnati, you're probably fine. If you give up 20 points off of turnovers against Cincinnati, you're A-OK in those final minutes. Too many mistakes throughout those 40 minutes, you know, 39 minutes leading up to those final possessions are going to hurt you. Now, obviously, K-State values the late game scenarios, the 5-to-grind they do in practice every day, right? Those have paid dividends for this team without a doubt, but there's a handful of games this season that you don't even have to be in that situation if you just play better for the first, you know, 39 minutes of the game.
I just find it remarkable that getting outscored that badly off turnovers and they're still in the game in the final minute with a chance to win. Remarkable. But the math for the NCAA tournament isn't good. But as El Camino Cat, one of our favorite posters over at Wabash Station, pointed out with his, I'm going to say reporting, he did a lot of breakdown of NIT stuff. They're not in a great position for the NIT either, because if the Big 12 only gets 9 teams into the tournament, which we agree probably will happen unless Cincinnati can sneak in, the NIT has changed their selection process completely. Gone are the auto bids. Now the Power Six basketball conferences will get 2 schools in apiece based solely on the net rankings. Then they're not doing any, we think this team's better despite the net. They're trusting the net to have it right. And the net does not like Kansas State. So if Cincinnati doesn't get in, those auto bids will go to Cincinnati and UCF because they appear to be better in those net ratings, although they lost by 25 in Manhattan. Now, they still could get in as one of the at-large bids, but guys, their net rating is so bad, they're flirting. If they lose 2 games here this week, they're flirting with not even getting an at-large bid because there'll be 20 other teams from around the country with higher net ratings. Gills, they're in trouble here if they don't get some work done.
Yeah, and we can talk all, I mean, what was it, last week's questions podcast, we talked all about the NIT, right? Well, I mean, that's not even a lock at this point. And obviously, in case they can get hot, they can still make the NCAA tournament. So this season can go to many different ways. But yeah, I mean, it's not a lock for this team. You did a great job. That was a DD today, right, Fitz? Were you outlining it? Yeah, I mean, it's not a lock at all.
That'd be low.
Yeah, it's tough. The first thing I thought was, are they even going to want to play in the NIT? And I think the question, the answer to that is, yeah, they're going to need to play in it. But it's difficult now. I was thinking, well, are they going to play on the road or are they going to be at home? And I'm thinking, well, they're going to be on the road because the women, you know, are going to be at home. I don't know that that's a lock anymore. But even still, even if the women aren't at home, there's no way K-State's getting a home game in the NIT. I don't think that's going to happen. But my better thought is just go win 2 games. Your season's on the line. Let it all hang out. I know that's easier said than done. I know, hey, just go win an Allen Fieldhouse when they're coming off a loss, you know, on the road. Just go win there. That'll be easy. That's right. They've lost 2 in a row. So, you know, but at the same time, if we want to make the tournament, we've talked about this, and I know me and you, Gills, we talked about it. hey, sometimes you've got to go win a game on the road that you're not supposed to win. This would be the time to do that. You know, they didn't do K-State any favors, but at the same time, K-State hasn't done itself any favors. So at this point, it's time to put up.
Yep, it sure is. We'll see if K-State can muster something tomorrow night. Allen Fieldhouse, games on ESPN, always incredibly challenging. But BYU just showed it can be done by catching fire at the right moment. And K-State caught fire at Cincinnati, couldn't close the deal. As Coach Tang said at his press conference, Gills, you can't win in Lawrence in the first half, but you sure as hell can lose. And that's happened to K-State teams a lot. He experienced it at Baylor, he said. You go in there and you just fall too far behind early and you can't catch up. BYU found a way to scrap back and hit those shots and play good defense down the stretch. But if you're K-State, don't fall behind too far in this game. You can't lose touch with Kansas or you're just not going to have a chance.
Yeah, you got to avoid that first round knockout punch, right? That Kansas, you know, I love watching Big 12 basketball throughout the years growing up. I mean, I can't tell you guys how many times before the first media timeout or even through that, you can tell KU's going to they're going to steamroll a boat race team. I'm sorry, guys. There you go. you know, you can just tell it's going to be one of those nights. And so, you know, coming out with strong energy is obviously very important playing in the Big 12 game in and game out, but it's especially important here in Allen Fieldhouse. I think it's kind of unfortunate for Kansas State that, you know, Kansas has lost two in a row. Obviously, just the mental side of things. I think KU is going to be locked in senior night, ready to go. But also, I think that I don't know what Mark Pope and Scott Drew were able to do, right? Who knows what the game plan was, but the blueprint might have been figured out. And maybe Baylor took advantage of that. But now Bill Self's the best coach in the country, as Coach Tang said today, right? I think Bill Self's going to start to make those adjustments. And obviously, Drum Tang can try to, you know, replicate some of those things. But, I mean, getting real into the X's and O's here in the schematics, I think this is a get-right game for KU to turn things around, switch things up, because Bill Self is a mastermind at, you know, outsmarting the other coach. And Drum Tang's a great coach. He's got a great staff, absolutely. But, you know, Drum Tang was very complimentary today in his press conference when talking about Bill Self. And so, I mean, who knows? You know, maybe KU does lose three in a row. You know, it's happened last year. I think DY was talking about that before that press conference today. I think I forget the teams, but K-State was the first to beat KU, and then they went on and lost the next two after that. So it can happen. But KU's hungry, guys. Like, the standard in Lawrence is winning the Big 12, getting a one or a two seed in March Madness, right? They're not at that level right now. And so that's a team that's hungry. Obviously, K-State's trying to get to the NCAA tournament. KU, for their own reasons, is trying to win this game just as badly to try to improve that resume before Selection Sunday.
It will be very interesting to see how K-State competes. I thought his comments on Bill Self were really interesting. And I asked him about, and Big B, as a former basketball player, I want to get your thoughts on this. Bill Self has done something really original and interesting. You'll see coaches do it maybe when they're really not too settled into their lineup. They'll just pull everyone off and put some new players on. But he's gone to a regimented line change where right. He brings in a group of players all at once to offer some relief to the starters. And his theory on it, I completely agree with. They practice together as a group all the time because the starting five in Lawrence is so set in stone now. These guys are on the other side of that. And just let them go play together. I think it's brilliant, but it also offers K-State an opportunity maybe to have a time where they can get a little lead going. As Coach Tang said, it also offers you time to rest your guys because they're not real deep either. Thoughts on the line change theory Bill Self has brought to Allen Fieldhouse?
Well, I think it's brilliant as well, Fitz, for the simple fact is KU's not a very deep team. So if you're going to bring these guys in, you got to get all your guys arrested once so you can get them back in. If guys are going to be playing 32, 34, 36 minutes in a game, okay, fine, I get that. Well, might as well get them all out at once so you can get them all back. Now, some people may think, well, you want to kind of space it out. You still want to have some guys out there, but it's just what Coach Self said and what you said. It's like if those guys are used to playing with each other, then let them continue to do that. Get our guys the rest that they need and then get them back out on the court. So I think it's fascinating. On the K-State side of that, he's right. Although the difference is that you're trying to win a basketball game. You know, so if their guys are out and their starters are out, I think K-State needs to try to take advantage of those situations and keep their guys out there and say, we need to build up something here, if possible, you know, to try to build up a little bit of a lead, take advantage of their starters not being on the court. Because if you take your guys out, well, look, we all love our team and everything, but guys start for a reason. And they play most of the minutes for a reason. It's not because they're the less talented of the players on the team. It's because they're the most talented players. So, right. And that's okay. So I just think K-State needs to try to take advantage of that versus sitting our guys at the same time as they do. I think that would be a mistake.
I agree. I totally agree with you. The K-State women win at Tech on Saturday. That advances them to the double bye in the bracket in Kansas City. They won't play until Saturday as they'll sit out a couple rounds. It's a different bracket because of the 14 teams. You got four playing on the first day in both the men's and women's brackets. I got to get my math right here. The 11 and 14 play. That's what K-State's staring at. If Cincinnati can catch them in the standings, they'll be the 11. West Virginia would be the 14 likely. But the women are doing the same thing. The difference is they have 2 days off in the middle of their bracket, which I find fascinating because BYU, you can't play on Sundays. And they also took Monday off, I suspect, so that if BYU would be in a championship game, they'd have a day of preparation. The women will play their championship game Tuesday. So it's kind of odd. K-State is in a position to, on the women's side, to make some hay. And they need to do a little more work themselves to make sure they get a bye. A few things to clean up here before we take our first break. Please make sure you're hitting the thumbs up on this podcast to kind of let everyone know it's good stuff. Leave those comments, particularly if you come back and watch later or add to it. Make sure you're leaving some comments for us. Also, you could do us a huge favor. We are going to migrate the Big 12 Insiders over to its own channel. And we have launched that channel already with some unique content. We're doing some shorts over there, but we'll also put up replays of the Big 12 Insiders here for a while. But we need to get to 1K subscribers for sure. Please go subscribe to the Big 12 Insiders page right here on YouTube. And with that said, we'll be back after this message from our partners at Synergy Financial. Folks, if you need some financial planning, they don't just kind of tell you what to do. They lay out a course for you that works with whatever your needs are. And as an entrepreneur, they are aimed at a lot of us who need to build up our own retirement, and they do some pretty cool stuff. Let's head to break. We'll be right back. We're going to talk some spring football for the Kansas State Wildcats.
At Synergy Financial Partners, the mission is to change the way Americans plan for their financial future. Synergy doesn't just offer you a financial plan. At Synergy, the goal is to help you find your best financial future. Learn more at synergyfinancial.com.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
Welcome back to the show. Let's head back to the studio.
Welcome back to the Big 12 Insiders. Fitz, Big B, and Gills is your lineup today. It's been a busy day. We had a delayed start here because of press conferences with both Jerome Tang and Chris Klieman. We just wrapped up the Chris Klieman press conference, who walked in and said, this is a lot like poor coaches nowadays, although this one's not as bad. The pre-bowl press conference when he said, I literally don't know anything about North Carolina State because I've been doing recruiting and transfer portal and all that stuff. He just returned from a coaching press conference, or excuse me, a coaching conference in Hawaii. I felt really bad. He had to make all that travel and go to Hawaii for a week or 10 days, whatever it was. You know, the suffering of coaches is immense. But he walked in and said, I don't know much about my own team right now because they've been working out with Coach True, and we're going to get a hold of them for 2 days this week. Boy, Brian Hanley, spring football has changed a lot since your days. Now it's kind of a, you know, get the team ready. Don't get them hurt. Kind of get them all, you know, get a little hitting in there to get them prepared, but try to get through this and heal up as many players as possible. When you played back in the dark ages, before the turn of the century, hey, Bill Snyder would just beat the living crap out of you in spring. And it was brutal. And somehow he'd dial up hot weather, and nobody knows how he would do it, but he could. He has those powers. It's just changed so much nowadays. It's a much more relaxed vibe around spring football.
Yeah, you know, on the Big 12 Insiders, you know, the guys that we've been having on, have kind of been asking a little questions about spring. And for the most part, people are like, you know, there's not really any position battles that are going on right now. It's just fine-tuning, a lot of development type of stuff. But I think the reason that they do that is kind of implementing some offense and defense is because of the transfer portal.
Right.
You know, back when I played, you know, we had junior college guys like myself that came in, but it wasn't position battles, or it was position battles, I should say. Yeah, we implemented what we were trying to do, but it was like, look, this is what we're looking to get before we start fall camp. So if you can earn yourself a spot and be a number one by then, the spring was the time to do it. You know, there was, you were going to develop and you were going to work on fundamentals, but you know what? You're competing for a job. And that wasn't what a lot of schools do. Now, I'm not saying none. Some still do that. But for the most part, it's more implementation. It's more just development, fundamental work. But back when I was at K-State, look, Coach Snyder believed in competition every single day that we were out there. It was compete, compete, compete. And I'll be honest with you, as a player, you don't like it physically, but mentally you can appreciate it because it lets you know every time you step on the football field, you have an opportunity to win a job or you have to keep your job, which keeps you on your toes. I appreciated that aspect. Like I said, physically, I mean, you know, I'm trying to go on spring break. I want a party. I want a blah, blah, blah. It's the springtime. Coach Snyder didn't believe in that. But to be honest with you, he made his better football players because of it.
And Gills, he brings up an important point. Now with the transfer portal, you've got a lot of guys that come in at semester, and now a lot of high school kids graduate in December so they can be there. You do have about a dozen guys on the field who don't know what the hell's going on. You got them, you know, kind of break them into everything about how they practice, how they prepare, you know, how, what the routine is in the locker room. Here's when you get to get taped. Here's when you got to do this. It does turn into a much more teachable environment than it has in the past, because you need those guys ready to help in the fall at a way that, you know, isn't always possible if they show up right before the season.
I mean, you mentioned it, Fitz. What did Chris Klieman say that the guys have been doing? They were with Coach True, right?
Yeah.
I mean, just getting bigger, getting more built, looking like Big B, looking like Fitz, putting on 100% muscle, zero fat. I mean,
that's
what this time is for, right? When you talk about the bowl game being the beginning of the next season, right? You have this time to get ready, get, you know, obviously get a better body, so to speak.
Yep. Matt Wells comes in. Chris Klieman talked about it today, Big B. He mentioned that Wells is bringing some of his philosophies to the passing game, so there'll be some tweaks there. I think we all welcome that. Connor Riley are working together on, you know, developing the playbook. He talked about changes on both sides of the ball, and he didn't go into it. He said, I'll leave that for the coordinators to talk about. But what I'm thinking it is, yes, altered things in the passing game. so that maybe it fits Avery better and maybe puts him in a better position or the receivers in a better position to succeed. And defensively, I think we're going to see them play a little bit more four-man front than they have in the past. They're not going to the four-man front. They like their defense a lot, but they're just calls for some situations where you need more beef up there to stop a run. But I also think we will see more of situations like 2 years ago when Jaden Pickle, a very big defensive end, would be out on the field for run support. I think we're going to see Jonathan Banks out there and some other guys that might have been more traditional nose tackles than how they've been playing last year. I like those changes. I think being more flexible on both sides of the ball is, as long as the players can adapt, is something you just have to have.
Yeah, you got to be flexible. Got to be able to do a multitude of different things when the time, you know, calls for it. You know me, I've been screaming, hey, on third and long situations, stop rushing three guys. Rush four. Even if you're not blitz, you don't have to blitz to be able to get pressure. Or let me say this, you shouldn't have to blitz to be able to get pressure. You know, and so because a lot of times you saw last year where we just weren't getting pressure because you're rushing three guys, they keep in five plus a back. Everybody's blocked and they can't get off double team. So kind of is what it is. But I just think, you know, the more that you can change during, you know, during a game or the season, the better off you can be, the more flexible that you can be during a game or a season, the better off you're going to be on offense and defense. Look, I welcome the receiver side fits. I absolutely welcome that. Here's the thing. And I know a lot of people may think a little bit differently. If Avery's the player that we all think that he's going to be, I think the help has to come from the receiver side of this. But that's where I think put the receivers in a better position for them to make plays versus saying, oh, well, we're going to help Avery. Don't get me wrong. You're going to help Avery, but you're helping Avery by helping your receivers. Put them in better positions to make plays. Draw up some more stuff on the route tree. Get a lot of things going over the middle. Just a bunch of different stuff. Avery's going to be who he is. And like I said, if he's as good as we all think that he is, and I believe he is, by the way, then I just think help the receivers, put them in better positions, and I think the offense can take off.
I agree. One thing that K-State does that's a little bit different, Coach Knight always liked to get spring football in before or after spring break. He didn't like to, you know, so that's why K-State was often one of the latest programs with spring football. They'd sometimes run into late April before the spring game because of spring break. Gills, Coach Kleiman, you have two required shorts days where you can put on helmets, but you're in shorts. It's required by the NCAA. He does those this week. This is the last week of classes before spring break. So we're getting those out of the way. As someone who seems like a guy that enjoyed spring break a lot, whether it was in Cabo or Manhattan, Kansas, would you like to come out of spring break and have three practices a week for an extended, you know, 3-4 weeks in a row? You seem like a guy that would oppose that.
I don't know why you're asking me this question. Come on, man.
You seem like a good spring break source.
Well, so Big B had spring breaks off, right?
Well, I can't talk about his spring breaks. He told me some about his spring breaks. We can't say that on the show.
Yeah, no, I mean, when I was in Cabo, I signed a bunch of non-disclosure, so I can't talk about this at all, Fitz. I mean, one thing, in all seriousness, back to Big B, talking about the wide receivers. I know Wally tweeted out something about this just about an hour ago after the press conference, just simplifying things with those wide receivers. And so I think that that's something that, you know, as Mike Tomlin loves to say, when you got red paint, you paint the barn red, right? That can be obviously true for the schematics and what you have, the players you have available, but also just, you know, a player's strength, right? Cater to their strengths. Obviously, every player on any sport's going to have some weaknesses, right? You want to do your best to minimize those. And so with the wide receivers, you know, no matter who it be, Keegan Johnson, whatever his strength may be, Jace Brown, get them, you know, doing what they do best. Like last year, if it was Phillip Brooks or RJ Garcia, you want to get them, you know, running as fast as they can and try to make your quarterback's lives, you know, easier. Obviously, you've got different players now, but yeah, I mean, obviously Avery Johnson's a heck of a quarterback. You guys mentioned it, but you know, if he doesn't have help around him, it's like, you know, what we're seeing maybe with Tyler Perry on the basketball court just a little bit, right? If you have everybody trying to just hone in on one single guy, then it's going to be much easier if you can have somebody else step up and help you out. But if not, I mean, it's going to be really challenging, right? I mean, so Avery Johnson's a great player, but he's only going to go as, I mean, offensive line, the entire offense is included here, but Big B, like you mentioned, the wide receivers, Get some things going, you know, draw some things up. You got a new coordinator. Be flashy, you know, be edgy with this stuff.
Yeah, B, I think you have to.
I love that.
Sorry, Fitz, go ahead.
Go ahead.
No, I just think you have to, Gills. I think you got to be flashy. I think you got to do some things outside of the box. You have this wonderful toy, per se, then exploit it. It's okay. It's like the guy that's got the Lamborghini but keeps it in the garage. Well, why would you do that all the time? You got to get out there, get on the highway, and drive that thing a little bit. And that's what we got. We've got – and look, I am all in on Avery Johnson. I know there's people out there that are skeptical or saying, well, he didn't throw the ball this year. That's because they didn't allow it. It's not because he wasn't able to do it. Now, do we need to see it? Yeah. Do we need to see it more consistent? Yes, I agree with all of that. But that doesn't mean he's not capable. Look, you're not going to the Elite 11 and winning that if you can't throw the football. I mean, that wasn't just a quarterback running competition. That's not what that was about or who the fastest guy was. That was who was playing the best quarterback. He won. So, like I said, I like Avery Johnson. I just think get this offense into – I shouldn't say it's not up to date, but we've got to do some more things that we haven't seen the last few years, you know, just throwing the ball deep down the field consistently. Consistently throwing it down the field, throwing dig routes, throwing comeback routes, all these things. We just got to open it up, because if we're going to try to run the football, which I still think we're going to be a team that wants to run the football, teams are going to know that, and they're going to say, we're going to take this quarterback run away. The only way to open up this quarterback run, got to throw the ball down the field, man. You just do. You got to back those safeties up.
Yep, yeah, I agree.
And I hope that none of this comes as a disrespect of Colin Klein, right? Like, there's different ways you can win football, right? First and 10, second and 7, third and 3. That was kind of, you know, back when he was playing Colin Klein, that's what he did, right? But now there's different ways to win games. So I hope that none of this comes as like a disrespect to Klein.
No. Yeah. Not at all.
When you have a run threat like Avery Johnson, even if you're going to try to limit when to do that, it's like having a stick of dynamite out there for every play, and the defense has to worry about that explosion.
Yeah.
I saw Lincoln Riley do something with Caleb Williams. I can't remember the exact way they got into it, but I think it was a bubble screen out to the left that actually was just a decoy. They then went into option to the left, and that guy catching the bubble screen as everyone else continued to block just bled up field. So now it's not just an option to run or pitch. You've got a receiver going up the sideline that probably just got forgotten about, and it worked every time they ran it. And why? Because they had to respect Caleb Williams, who's not, you know, pretty good runner, but nothing like Avery. Defenses would be in a real situation, Brian. I hope they get creative with how they layer plays so that Avery's run threat isn't taken off the table immediately, you know, by indications of, oh, he's going to stand in the pocket. And as long as we don't let him escape the pocket, we've got him. Right. They need to really work with his run abilities and how they construct plays.
Yeah, they have to do all of that. I mean, like I said, if you're wanting him to be the dynamic quarterback that I think he's built to be, then you have to have dynamic play calling. It's just that simple. Don't put him in a box. If you put them in a box, make that be the biggest box that we've ever seen, you know, and put them in that and just put a lot of things in that thing, because being dynamic, you're only as dynamic as your play calling. Let me just say that. You can only be as dynamic as your play calling. And if you're going to call plays that are going to exploit your talents, I think that's the best way we have to do it. Don't, you know, just, oh, well, we want to do this, and no matter what, because we want to do this, that's what we're going to do. Those are the teams that end up 7-5 every year, is because they don't play to their team strengths or their quarterback strengths or whatever. I go, that's not what K-State's wanting to be. We want to be a team that competes for the Big 12 championship every single season. And to do that, you have to be willing to do some things that maybe it's outside of other coaches' comfort zones, but you know what? It's the best thing to do for our team. And I think the more we do that, the better off we will be.
Gills, do you see my picture doing weird things?
Uh-huh. See, I thought it was my Wi-Fi that was tricking me. No, but it's real.
It's not happening in the studio, just on the screen. What is going on? I will be very fascinated to see the input of Matt Wells on this team and on this play calling. This is beginning to bug me. It's like I'm in a disco.
It's bugging me too.
Oh, no. Well, I always bug you. Yeah. I'm really intrigued by what's going to happen here with this team and how it's all going to come together. But let's get to something Gills absolutely loves, odds. And K-State and Utah are consistently the top two teams to win the Big 12. When the books are now putting it out, I saw FanDuel has Utah slightly higher than K-State. I think it was DraftKings has K-State higher than Utah. But what's interesting to me is right behind them, the next two are typically Kansas, right there on the next level, and Arizona, right there on the next level. And I actually think it might be because Utah and K-State host those teams on their home fields. I think if Kansas was hosting in Lawrence, we might see these odds flipped. And I don't know if Arizona would flip all the way with Utah, but I think it'd be a lot closer. Man, protecting your home field in this new chaos of the new 12 is going to be amazing to watch. Gills, you talk now, and I'm going to figure out my camera.
You better fix that. But we talk about defending your home court in Big 12 basketball, how important that is. I think, Fitz, you mentioned it. That might be a reason why these lines are the way they are. You got to defend your home field in football. And so I'm curious, you guys, like maybe Big B, I got to point to you here. It's flipped. Okay, Big B, maybe you can touch on this as Fitz is busy doing that. But I was really confused with Oklahoma State. Where's the disrespect coming from for that team?
I don't know. I think they think because of what happened last year that their schedule, and that's how they got into the Big 12 championship game. They, other than K-State, they missed Texas. Well, they didn't miss. They did miss Texas. They played OU, and OU was perceived. But if you look, they played all the newbies, you know, sure. And playing all the newbies, those were all wins, you know. And so when you do that, and then the schedule flips on you, and then we'll see exactly what they're kind of made of. It's kind of the same thing with West Virginia. West Virginia ended up with 9 wins. Well, they played all the newbies, and they lost one on a Hail Mary, you know, which they should have won that game against Houston. So other than that, it's like, okay, well, now that the schedule flips, now it's okay, well, let's see exactly what you're made of when you're playing some tougher competition. You know, I know the new thing is going to be, you know, Colorado coming into the conference. And everybody's going to be all over Coach Prime. And I don't disagree. I like Coach Prime. I think he's fine. But until I see some more substance over the style, I'm not a believer. You know, right. you fooled me last year, and I bought in. You know, I believed, Gills. I believed. Yep, and then I knew their roster wasn't great. And then when they were getting their head beat in, I'm like, okay. So I'm going to have to – they're going to have to show us more than that, than what they're telling us, because they told us a lot, but they didn't show us much. So I just think that kind of disrespect, it's going to be interesting. Say that it's going to be interesting. Yeah. A lot of these teams coming in, I still can't figure out how we couldn't get this Arizona game to be a non-conference game, or how it couldn't be a conference game, get somebody else or something. To me, that's just mind-boggling, because nobody's going to understand it. Nobody is going to understand it. And I don't even know if anybody should understand it. I mean, it's just weird. It's just weird.
It does give the conference an interesting opportunity, because, you know, that game's listed as an or for Friday or Saturday. The feedback we're beginning to get is it's entirely possible that game will be on Saturday, because it could be a featured game to kind of announce the new conference. While it's not a conference game, it is conference opponents. And you know, I think Baylor and BYU are doing the same thing with the non-conference game.
They are.
I find it confusing too, especially considering Washington State has a series with K-State in the future. Pick up the phone to see if they could move it up.
Yeah.
You know, I get that nobody wanted to try to retool a schedule at the very end, but I hope the next phase, the Colorado series, doesn't do the same thing, because that's the next round of non-conference opponents for K-State is Colorado. Hopefully they plug someone in. Let's play Oregon State. I'm fine with that.
Yeah.
If they're going to still be considered a power conference, even though they're two, I'm cool with that. So, okay, guys, I don't know why my camera has settled down. It's all StreamYard. My camera's doing fine. I turned off a light.
I was wondering if we could put dude over napping on the floor instead of you. I mean, that's the people would love to look at that. Come on.
But, you know, that's cruel because you're treating dude like he's just some kind of thing that we can just get clicks off of because he's you know, a second object in his own way. Let's take a break. Let's hear from our partners at Synergy Financial Partners, and we'll be right back, wrap up this show, and get you ready for the Big 12 Insiders all week long.
At Synergy Financial Partners, the vision is to build the world's largest consumer financial education and empowerment company. Synergy doesn't just offer you a financial plan. At Synergy, the goal is to help you find your best financial future. Learn more at synergyfinancial.com.
Picture that super soft t-shirt you love sleeping in. The one that gets softer and softer the more you wear it. Now you can bring that same lived-in softness to your entire bed with Signature Vintage Wash Sheets from Boll & Branch. This all-new collection is even softer than your favorite t-shirt, with a distinctly relaxed look and feel for your best night's sleep. Just like all Boll & Branch bedding, Signature Vintage Wash Sheets start with the highest quality, 100% organic cotton. The lived-in feel comes from a small batch washing process, creating a level of softness you've never felt before. And it's not just the feel. Boll & Branch mastered the laid-back aesthetic using a special technique that creates the well-loved look you'll find with vintage jeans. And true to the Boll & Branch hallmark, Signature Vintage Wash Sheets get softer and softer with every wash. Right now, you can get 15% off your first order with promo code ODYSSEY and save on their most relaxing sheets. So head to BollAndBranch.com today. That's B-O-L-L and Branch.com.
Welcome back to the show. Let's head back to the studio.
There we go, Gills. Did it for you. There's dude sleeping on the floor. That's how exciting this show's been. Brian Hanley, appreciate it very much. Tell me what you got cooking for the Big 12 Insiders this week.
So, obviously, we're bringing in new people, right. You know, into the conference. So, we finally got Jason Scheer from Arizona. He's going to be on Wednesday. Tomorrow, first time that we're having Baylor on. Foster Nichols from Baylor is going to be on tomorrow, so we're going to talk a little bit of Baylor. Like I said, on Wednesday, we'll talk a little bit of Arizona. I would guess that we're probably also going to have another segment. I don't know, Fitz, whether we're going to do it Thursday or Friday when we're just having some discussions, talking about the NCAA tournament expansion. I think it's absolutely insane that they're talking about expanding the March Madness, the 90 or 96 teams. I'm like, oh, my goodness, what are we doing? So all of that's going to be coming up on the Big 12 Insiders this week. I appreciate everybody that's come over. I don't know why Gills won't be on. He hasn't been on yet. I've invited him. He doesn't want to come. Actually, he did come on, didn't he?
Yeah.
Never mind. Yeah, forget that. On. You know, I was trying to jump on the bandwagon of teasing Gills. Fitz, and it backfired on me. Jiminy Christmas.
Come on. Don't be like Fitz.
Well, look, I mean, he was on, but nobody watched.
Yeah, nobody watched.
If there's ever like poor numbers, you can go back to the show that I was on, and that's the root cause of everything, mm-hmm. right?
Yep. Mm-hmm. It's all south. I'm excited about this week on the Insiders.
Yeah.
By the way, folks, if you like it, the Big 12 Insiders, Big B did a bonus episode today. I'll be putting that up shortly. It wasn't live. It was pre-produced. So I got to do some stuff to get it up after these press conferences, but I'm excited to watch that. That'll be appearing. In fact, that might just be over at the Big 12 Insiders new channel, Big B. We'll see. And folks, I appreciate everyone watching. We have really good viewership for the Insiders, and it's fun to talk about K-State. Even though basketball isn't going as planned, football's exciting. Let's see if basketball can get it done. Gills, are they going to win Tuesday night?
They're going to
be competitive.
Yeah. I don't want to say that's all you can hope for, but I mean, I don't know. Give the Friday shoot around, okay? Give us a listen. Me and Clint Stewart, part of the last K-State team to ever win in Allen Fieldhouse was in 06, 07, right? So obviously the first half of that show is a little dated now with, you know, previewing Cincinnati, but second half, give us a listen, previewing that game against KU.
Yep, and then K-State comes home against Iowa State to wrap it up on Saturday, the last regular season game. Brian, that thing looms huge.
Yeah, it's a big game. And not just for K-State, for Iowa State, too.
Them too.
Yeah, you know, they got an opportunity to still win the league here, depending on what, you know, Houston does. And Houston's schedule, again, it's been tough. So we'll find out. I'm looking forward to it. I'm looking forward to both games. Like I said, I don't think it's probable that K-State wins, but I think it's possible. I mean, like I said, I'm still hoping, Gills. I'm still hoping that they just turn the boys loose. Just turn them loose and get up and down the court. But if they play smart, and if they really play smart, guys, seriously, they got a chance. They do. They've got a chance.
Turnovers, though. I mean, turnovers are always going to lose you games. But in Allen Fieldhouse, guys, there's just so many things that can beat you. And turnovers, yeah. That's just adding fuel to the fire when you turn the ball over like that. So K-State, Jerome Tang mentioned it. They, 11 or less, they've never lost, I think, and 14 or less even for this team. You know, I'm not saying you have to just play perfect. Like Cincinnati had like almost a perfect game. You don't have to be like that. Just value the basketball more.
Yeah.
Yep, I agree. Well, folks, we appreciate you watching. This has been the K-State Insiders. We'll be back next week. Hopefully Glenn will be able to join us. And we've got so much more coming at Go Powercat. As Gills mentioned, he'll have the Friday walkthrough, shoot around with Clint Stewart. But he also, for our subscribers, has a film study of what went wrong at Cincinnati. He's been doing those for games as of late. It's something that we will carry on throughout K-State basketball, not just this year, but into the future. This has been the Insiders, and we appreciate you being with us.
This has been a GoPowerCat.com and Spirit Street production. Please support this show by subscribing to this YouTube channel or follow us on your favorite podcast platform.
This is Tony Kornheiser's show. I'm Tony. You expected someone else? So what exactly is the show about? I don't know. It's a sports show nominally. Football's over, but we're finally at a point where things matter in college basketball, and baseball season is on deck. Greatest three words in the English language, pitchers and catchers. We have some of the best voices come on and explain what matters or what makes an upset, like Ryan does. 9-8. No, that's not an upset. No, yeah, it is, Bob. And if you're lucky, I might just tell you about my search for discounted sleep pants or my worries about what my dog just ate. Listen on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.